please, and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1. I try to have an Old Testament book going, a New Testament book going, a topical series going. We have our topical series going right now. It's Sound Doctrine. We have our New Testament book going. That's the book of Acts. And today we begin our brand new Old Testament book study, the book of Ecclesiastes. I hope you'll be asking God to speak to your heart as we travel through this book together. Appreciate you being here today. God bless you for coming. Thank you for being in the house of God. Let's begin our reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Under the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new, it hath been already of old time, which was before us? There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I'm going to stop my reading there, and you say, what in the world did we just read, right? What in the world is he talking about? Today I want to begin our book study with the opening phrase. It's the title of this first sermon. It's the phrase, the words of the preacher. The words of the preacher. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, would you bless this time? Thank you for the power of the Word of God. And I pray now as we have devoted this most important time to the preaching of your Word, I pray that you help me as your preacher to be filled with the Spirit of God, emptied of myself. May there be nothing hindering you. Remove all hindrances. Please, may we be focused on your Word today and help me to get this across as you've gotten it across to me. You be the preacher today. Challenges from your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we begin our study on the book of Ecclesiastes. The name Ecclesiastes simply means preacher. That's what it means. It's the book of the preacher. The entire book is one sermon. That's a big one. You think I preach a long sermon? It's 12 chapters long. This is one sermon, and the introduction is given in the opening three verses. And the conclusion is given in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the closing verses of the book. And in between, Solomon is speaking and he's giving the experiment of life. Now, this is considered a book about life. Life that deals with the heart of man, the heart issue of man, and is given from Solomon's viewpoint, who is said to be the wisest, foolish man that ever lived. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, Ecclesiastes is the dramatic autobiography of his life when he was away from God. He also said this is human philosophy apart from God. Now throughout this book, Solomon hunts unsuccessfully for heart satisfaction in things, as you'll find quoted over and over, under the sun, under the sun. That phrase, under the sun, simply means life on earth apart from God. In other words, life on earth, under the sun, under God, with no thought of God, this is what we're reading in this book. It's reported that the book can be summarized by two statements, one that was made by a sewer worker in Chicago, and another one was a well-known agnostic lawyer. Here's what they said, and I agree with these statements. When you read through the book, talking about the bulk of the book, now the conclusion's wonderful, but and throughout it are some great tidbits, but just this thought that all is vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I mean, you think you're depressed now, read the book of Ecclesiastes. And here's what the agnostic lawyer said about it. There's a statement in the Bible which summarizes my life. He's talking about his own life. And this is what can be said about this right here, what you hear from Solomon. He said, there's a statement in the Bible which summarizes my life. It says, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Isn't that a great way to live your life? That's what that agnostic lawyer said about himself. Here's what the county sewer employee said that can be applied to this book right here. He said, I dig the ditch to get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. Say that five times fast, right? That's what's going on in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon is just like a ball in the wind. He's just blowing with no purpose in life because he's leaving God out of it. Now, these statements form a good summary of what Solomon says in a lot of the book that we're going to study together about life without God on this earth. You leave God out of life and it's meaningless. You leave God out of life, it has no purpose. It's emptiness. Solomon did not find true satisfaction in what he sought. As we read through this book, you're going to find he was seeking things, he saw things, and he studied things, and he could not find true satisfaction in what he sought, in what he saw, or in what he studied. Everything under the sun leads to vanity. Only the Lord God of heaven can truly satisfy. Now, this is the introduction to the book, but it's really the key thought of the entire book, that if you leave God out, I don't care who you are, what you have, it will lead to emptiness. Now, let me give you several things today, just in these opening 11 verses, concerning the words of the preacher, number one. First of all, we see the summary of the words. This is found in verses 1 through 3. In other words, all of his words that he's going to say throughout this book until he gets to the conclusion, if you will, can be summarized in the opening three verses of this chapter here. In these first three verses of this book, Solomon summarizes the main point of the entire book. He said that all is vanity, and there's no profit with man's work under the sun. Now, the word vanity here speaks of emptiness. All is emptiness. I like what one concordance said. It said the original word, talking about vanity, the original word means a thing insufficient and worthless that soon vanishes away like a vapor or like a bubble. Now, a vapor is something you cannot grasp, you cannot hold it, and you do not see it for very long. And what Solomon is teaching us from the very outset of this book is that I am King Solomon. But I have found that without God, life is like a vapor that is here and gone and there's nothing to hold on to. It's all emptiness. J. Vernon McGee said it this way. It is talking about vanity, vanity of vanities, this summary of the words here. He said it's to waste life without any purpose or any goal. It means to live life like an animal or live it like a bird would live their life. It's as if Solomon is saying what one man said, the world is all a title page, but no contents in the book. Powerful statement. He is saying the totality of human effort and accomplishment is utterly futile and leads to emptiness. You put all this together, it shows that man cannot find in the world what he truly seeks for. This is the book of Ecclesiastes. Whetting your appetite a little bit, just a little bit maybe? J. Vernon McGee went on to say this. He said, I was in a hotel in the Hawaiian Islands where the jet set would come, the crew. They fly all over the world, spending a few days or weeks in Hawaii, then in Mexico, and then in France, then Spain, North Africa, South Africa, and so on. They're flying everywhere. They're world travelers. He said, I watched these folk and listened to their conversation at the dinner table, out in the hotel lobby, even in the elevators. He said, the thing that impressed me about them was how purposeless their lives really are. They talked about people they had seen in other places. They talked about plays they had seen. They would ask, where are you going from here? And someone would say, wasn't that place where we were last year a bore? There was no aim, no goal, no purpose in life. This is also the conclusion of Solomon. That I have everything my hands desire. I have everything my eyes want. We've not even gotten to that point. We're not going to get to it today. But here's what he said throughout the book. I think it's chapter 2 where he said, if I saw it, I wanted it, I got it. If I wanted to do it, I did it. There's nothing that I could not have under the sun. But I'm going to tell you something. I have found that everything under the sun is emptiness. Emptiness. It's just like a big bag of nothing. This is the summary of the words. This is the summary of the book, really. Second thing I want to notice with you, and the sermon starts coming out in point 3, so stay with me now. Number 1, the summary of the words. We're talking about the words of the preacher Solomon, because he says he's a son of David, the king in Jerusalem, and David only had one son that was the king in Jerusalem, and that is Solomon. Second thing we notice about the words is not only the summary of them, but number 2, let's notice the survey of them. Let's just survey the words. This is found in verses 4 through 11. I want you to read the verse while I'm explaining it. First of all, verse 4, you don't have to do that, obviously, but if you'd like to read it, then I'm going to explain it. Look at it while I give you the explanation. He says in this verse, when you read it there, here's what he's saying. He's saying, we're not here forever. Our lives are fleeting fast. We come and we go, and there's just another generation that comes up after us. They'll die and another generation will come up after them. And he's saying, we come and we leave all of our labors behind. Verses 5 through 7, you can read it while I explain it. Matter of fact, let me read it. Look at it. The sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they will return again. You say, what is he saying? You know what he's saying? He's saying this, nature's just monotonous. I mean, and it's repetitiveness where the wind goes and comes. The sun rises, goes down, comes back up again. I mean, the sea flows there, but it just comes right back again. He's saying all of this repetitiveness just reinforces that there's nothing new in this life. Solomon's view is like what one man learned as a boy. Here's what this man said. This is what Solomon's saying. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. The hands on the clock keep going around. Time to get up, time to lay down. Life gets tedious, don't it? Direct quote. He's just spinning his wheels, you understand? He's looking at nature and says, look at that. There's the sun again. It's going back down. It'll just come right back up again tomorrow. I mean, doesn't he sound like a guy that you really like to spend some time around, friends? Isn't he a positive kind of guy? Verse number 8. Look what he says here. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He's saying this, labor, not rest, is our portion on earth. There is no rest on earth. It's just labor, labor, labor. And he said, our eyes and our ears are never satisfied. Why don't we take it from somebody who had everything his eyes wanted? Who had everything the ear could imagine, Solomon had it. And Solomon said, let me tell you my personal testimony. Your eyes are never satisfied. Your ears are never satisfied. He says all this in verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Look at verse number 9 and 10. We're just surveying these words. The thing that hath been, verse 9, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. What's he saying here? He's saying there's nothing new, there's nothing exciting, there's nothing interesting. It's just blah. Just blah. Life is not exciting. By the way, I remind you, this is not God saying this. This is from the human standpoint of a man who's left God out of his life. You understand? This is him testifying of his own life. Then in verse number 11, notice it now. He said, there's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. What does that mean? He's saying this, people just forget everything. One man put it well, and he said this, the fact that there is more oblivion than remembrance show another feature of this world's vanity. Just give it enough time, there's going to be some things you're not going to remember anymore. Amen or not? Now, it's very rare to meet anybody who has one of those minds that just remembers everything. I know I don't. Sometimes I don't even know if I know my own name. You know what I mean? How little is the remembrance? Now think about this. Things that were great in their time. How little is the remembrance of the great empire of Nimrod? Of the early beginnings of Rome. Or the first dynasty in France. Do you remember those things? Maybe somebody remembers some of it, but I guarantee you don't remember all of it probably. Amen. Again, I like what J. Vernon McGee said. By the way, anytime I quote somebody, go study after them. I'm sanctioning them. Go study after them. J. Vernon McGee, be good for you. Amen. Here's what he said. Man tries to be important. He tries everything in the world to keep himself before the public. But it isn't long until he passes off the stage. There's no remembrance of former things. He goes on to say, do you remember who were the popular entertainers of 50 years ago? Do you remember the popular athletes of 50 years ago? Could you name the president of the United States 50 years ago? Our memories aren't very long. The scripture says that we spend our time here as a tale that is told, and we can't go back over it again. The point that Solomon's making right here in verse 11 that people just forget is what this preacher said. He said, it's pointless to live only for this life, for there'll be no remembrance of what has been in later generations. You know what Solomon's saying? I'm working and working and working and working and working and working. Give me a few years and nobody will even remember what I'm doing. By the way, folks, it would do us good to listen to this man's preaching about his own life. Number one, we've noticed the summary of the words. All is vanity under the sun with a life without God. Number two, the survey of the words. We're just here. We're going to be gone. There's another generation coming. We leave our labors behind. Nature's just monotonous. We just labor. We have no rest. Our eyes are never satisfied. Our ears are never satisfied. There's nothing new, nothing exciting, nothing interesting. And no matter what I do, the next generation's going to forget it anyway. Now that brings me to my sermon. It's about an hour and a half long. No, I'm just kidding with you there, okay? Let me give you the third thing here. The third thing is what I call the stress of the words. In other words, these words stress something. They emphasize something. And there are three things that they emphasize. When you put what he said about life in summary, verses 1 through 3, all life under the sun is vanity. And you put what he did when we just surveyed his words and all the monotony and all this kind of stuff, there are three major truths I want to give you to take home today. This is the sermon. This is the application. Here we go. Number one, live for the eternal, not the temporary. Live for the eternal, not the temporary. You know, there are many today who are living for what is on earth. They're living for what's here. They are living for things that are temporary. Do you know what this earth has to look forward to? Fire. The house I live in will someday be ashes. The car I drive will someday be ashes. The clothes I wear will someday be ashes. 2 Peter 3, 7 through 10 puts it this way. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let me ask you a question. Are you living for what one day is going to burn up? Are you? What's your purpose in life? Are you living for here, or are you living for there? If you're living for here, it is going to lead you to the same conclusion that Solomon said. Come to the end of your life and look back on it. It may be right now. You may be having the time of your life. There were times when Solomon was living it up. He had the time of his life. But here, he's older. He's an older man here. And he looks back on his life and he says, all of that stuff I thought that was giving me satisfaction, let me tell you where it led me. It led me to absolutely zero. Nothing. It was complete vanity. You know, we're on this earth for such a short period of time, and we need to learn that we should not place our roots so deeply in this world. Solomon said that things under the sun without God will only leave a man empty. This is why Matthew 6, 19 and 20, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that we live in a society, and we all have to guard against this, that we are so focused on the here and now that we're not sending anything beyond. We're not living for there. We're living for here. It's interesting that there are people who will do anything, to win, or anything to do this or do that. Do you realize that you're looking at a World Series champion? Not in the major leagues, but when I was 13 years old. See, I set you up there. You see what I'm saying? I traveled on a traveling team at 13 years old, and my team won the World Series. Who cares? Right? Who cares? My mom may have forgotten that. I don't know. But anyway, I'm saying some people live for things like that. And Solomon said, I don't care what you do on this earth under the sun without God, just give it a little longer and nobody's going to remember it. Nobody cares about that kind of stuff. It's emptiness. God has made life to where you cannot find what only He can give in something temporary. You can't find it. Let me give you a second thing. Not only number one, live for the eternal, not the temporary. Number two, it only matters if God remembers you, not man. Now think about this. He said, nothing's remembered. Everything I do will be forgotten. But you know, there are many famous people who are obsessed about their legacy. And some of them will even go to great lengths to set up monuments or museums or libraries or whatever they can to help just perpetuate their memory. But I've got news for them. It's all going to end. The only remembering that will profit is remembering the Lord, who in turn will remember you. Remember the dying thief? I guarantee he looked at his life and said, empty. He's now hanging beside the Lord, dying the same horrible death that Jesus Christ died. not in the same, you understand, type, but you get it. I'm just talking about crucifixion. He was crucified. Remember what he asked the Lord? He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know, it makes no difference whether man remembers me or not, but it makes an eternal difference if God does. And I ask you a question, if you go out into eternity, does God remember you? Does he remember you? Now, he forgets nothing. You understand what I'm saying? This is a play on words. You understand? Another way of putting that is, do you know him as your Savior? Have you trusted him? And then number three today, this is the third application. And this is really the main emphasis of the book. Now, the main application is the conclusion of the book. He comes to a wonderful conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. Okay? That's the conclusion of the book. But as we travel through this book, you're going to find, and here's the main key now to these 11 verses, and really the rest of the book, life, I've already said it, but here it is again, life apart from God is emptiness. No matter who you are. Don't miss that point. No matter who you are, life with God ignored is emptiness. You say, what do you mean? There are no incidentals in Scripture, right? What does verse 1 say about this preacher? He's the son of David. He's also what? He's king. He's king. He's living high on the hog. Can I put it that way? This goes to show that it does not matter how important you are. It doesn't matter what kind of position on earth you may hold. Without God, it makes no difference if you are king or if you are pauper. If you leave God out of your life, you will be empty. Clarence Sexton said it this way, if we found a man somewhere in the kingdom of Israel, a man with absolutely nothing of this world's goods, and that gentleman said, "I have nothing, my life is empty," we would not be surprised. In other words, if we found a man in the kingdom of Israel, and I mean, he just barely had a shirt on his back. I mean, he has nothing. And he gets up and says this, "Life is vanity, life is vanity." Then the rest of the world might say, "Sure it is, you don't have anything." But that's not who's speaking. This is the king. He goes on to say, but if the book of Ecclesiastes, we go to the other extreme, to the palace of the king in the time of the most glorious reign of any king. This is the most glorious time to be king. And King Solomon says, my life is empty. It causes us to take a little bit more notice, doesn't it? Solomon had everything this world had to offer. As a matter of fact, concerning Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 27, his reign was filled with so much wealth, read it, that the Bible says silver was just like the stones. You know what that means? Back in this day, they had stone roads. There were stones everywhere. You walked on them. And Solomon, testifying of his own life, it says right here, silver was so abundant in my kingdom that we could just, if we wanted, I'm paraphrasing, there's as much of it as there is rocks in this city. Just cast it under your feet and walk on if you want to. There's plenty to go around. You go on in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, he had 700 wives and princesses. 300 concubines. Reminds me of a funny story of kids. What kids say? Somebody said, ask a child one day something along this line. Said, how many women did Solomon have? This kid raised their hand and said, 700 wives and 300 porcupines. But anyway, 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. Excuse me, I'm not trying to be crude. You know your pastor by now. But if he wanted to, he could have a woman, a different lady every night for basically 3 years. Anything and everything this man wanted, he had. Solomon had absolutely everything. Humanly speaking, he had everything. But in this book, he says, I am empty. He even said in chapter 2, verse 17, he said, I hate life. I hated life. Now, if we think we can be better, happier people by adding something else to our list of things, well, if I could just get that, I'll find happiness. If I could just get a hold of that, if I could just get that promotion, or if I could just get that car, or if I could just have a bigger house, or if I could just find a boyfriend, if I could just find a girlfriend, I'll find it. The book of Ecclesiastes, God has placed it here to testify against the person that thinks that. You will not find it on this earth. We learn in this life that life apart from God leads to complete emptiness. Many have built their lives on vanity. Many have filled their houses with vanity. Many live for the moment right now. One of these days, this will pierce their souls like a bolt of lightning from Almighty God. We all must realize that we have only one life and we must not waste it on things. Without Him, we're empty. Without giving Him proper place, we have no joy. God has designed us so that we live and serve Him in time. And while we are in time, it is the things that are eternal that bring fulfillment, happiness, peace, and joy. In other words, while you're in time, only the things that are not confined by time will bring true happiness, peace, contentment, and joy. The pursuit of things has left an empty world filled with people who have empty lives. And if you've lived long enough, you can visit places and you can see things that maybe you once admired that are no longer as admirable. We could all get in our cars and drive by a junkyard and see the scrap cars today and remember that every one of those cars was once somebody's pride and joy. The houses that are decaying, falling apart, were at one time the most beautiful houses anybody could find. These kinds of things should be sermons from God, telling us that eternity's coming. Heaven and earth are passing away. And may we fix our hearts on Jesus Christ and on things that will count for eternity. We can possess the whole world and yet be empty. The Lord has made life that He is the only one who can truly satisfy us. He really is. And as someone said, He, talking about Jesus, He is the substitute for everything. Nothing can be a substitute for Him. He is the substitute for everything. Nothing can be the substitute for Him. What the world offers is emptiness. But what Christ offers is not emptiness. He even said in John 10:10, He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We're just beginning this book study. Just beginning it. But let us learn the lesson quickly that really this book is driving home throughout the book. And that lesson is this: life without God only leads to emptiness. Therefore, do not leave God out of your plans, but rather live for Him and the things that are eternal. Don't give your life to things that will one day just burn up. Now, as I'm coming to a close, I want you to be honest. Do you get the main thought today? Yes, amen or not? Then I ask you a question. Are you living for the temporary? Or are you living for the eternal? Every one of us have to guard against that. Let's be honest. This world means too much to us, doesn't it? We get so bogged down with things that just one day will turn to ashes. I don't want to leave God out of my life, do you? Then let's put Him first. Realizing that's where true joy comes from. You'll only be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would you bless today? Help us to learn this lesson from this preacher, this king that was just testifying of his own life and how he viewed life, how he saw life, and it was just complete emptiness. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless in this invitation time. May your will be done. May you help us to be faithful. And may you fill us with your Spirit and power. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As we begin this invitation time, they're going to begin to play through softly just as soon as they get prepared there. I want to start with this thought. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? I remind you, if you're not, the Bible says, Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Translated, that means you can have everything on the earth can be yours, but if you die without Christ, you've lost everything. You can only be rich if you're rich with God. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the true riches, peace, contentment, satisfaction, joy. As they begin to play through softly, I ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know you're going to heaven? If you don't, please, would you come? Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. In just a moment, we're going to give the invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. We'll have somebody here. I can meet you as you come down. We want to put a man with a man, a lady with a lady, pointing you to Jesus Christ. I may be talking to somebody right now that you've tried so many things. You've tried so many things, and we're not going to get personal here, but you've tried so many things to fill that void, to fill that emptiness. And it just seems like everything you tried just doesn't work. I'll tell you why, because there's a void that only Jesus can fill. That's it. It's not, well, I tell you what, you can either choose Jesus or you can fill it with five of these things. No. It's Jesus, only Jesus. And if you let Him fill that void, you'll find satisfaction. You will. If you try to fill it with anything else, you're going to end up where Solomon ended up. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. It's just emptiness. I want to encourage you, live for the eternal. Live for the eternal. Put your life under the spiritual microscope and ask yourself, what is it that I'm going after? Am I going after something on this earth that really when I die it does too? Am I giving my life to something that when God sets fire to this world, it's just going to burn up? Or am I sending treasures to heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt? Thieves do not break through and steal. I think the message has been preached. I hope it's been clear. I hope it's been plain. Let's apply it to our lives. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help those who are lost here today to come. As the devil fights them, I pray that you break through and help them come so we can take a Bible, share the gospel with them, point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us as your children, we who are saved, to live our life for the eternal, not the temporary. Help us to be faithful in this and not to be empty, but to be full of Jesus. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary, going to begin to sing. If you need to be saved or you just want to come and pray and ask God to help you live for the eternal, not the temporary, as He sings out loud. Would you come now? Come on now, please.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith.
If you need to be saved, come on.
And have
if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you'd like for us to take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Come on.
But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Playing through softly, if you have children still in the home with you, children still in the home with you, I'd like you to lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. Would you do that? It's a lot of you here today. It means we've got families, children still in the home. I believe the Lord's prompting this. We all understand. I still have four in the home. I'm trying to get rid of one of them. No, I'm just kidding with you. The devil is going to flash the things on earth in front of our children. And he's going to try to tempt them to live for that. That's what life's about. Go for it. And the Lord wants us to lead our children. How can we expect our children to live for the eternal if they see us living for the temporary? I feel led to do this. I think it's of God. Matter of fact, I know it's of God. I want to invite you. You say, Pastor, should I do this? I can't answer that. The Lord will tell you. But I'll say this. I would plan to do this unless God holds me by the shirt and won't let me do it. I think it'd be appropriate for us as moms and dads with our children still in the home to end our time today before I dismiss this church service on our knees before God. And saying, oh God, help us set the example. Help us to set the example of living for the eternal, not the temporary. Some of your children's with you in this service. When's the last time you grabbed your kids and said, let's go to the altar and pray? You know what that stresses to your children? Life is bigger than us. I'd like my son to leave the balcony. I want him to come down here. Because I'm going to pray with him. God has a plan for that young man. And I don't want the devil to get him. And I must teach him to live for the eternal. My brother Gary is singing. If you feel led as a father, as a mother, your children are here. Maybe they're not, but they're not in the service with you, but you want to come. I want you to come. Listen, my other children are in, well, the young one's probably hugging the babies back in the nursery, but anyway, this is our son who's in this service. And as Brother Gary sings, if you parents want to come, no pressure, but if you parents want to come, come on, from the balcony down below, bring your kids. I think this is a great way to conclude this service. Brother Gary singing. And Brother Gary, as soon as you get done singing, if you were to come right here and lead us in our closing prayer, that would be great. If you're visiting with us today, please take your visitor's card out through the lobby. Drop it off to Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. As he sings, you parents all over, come on, let's come pray together, shall we?
Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and
soul. Lord, we close the service this morning realizing the difficulty of putting You first and living for the kingdom of God. Lord, every one of us is pulled by the things of the world, the entertainments of the world, the pleasures of the world, all the things, the possessions of the world, all these things pull at us all the time. And Lord, we have to work, we have to make a living, we have to provide. But Lord, help us to put the kingdom of God first. Help us truly to seek Your kingdom first, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. Oh God, help us this week to do something eternal, something that You'll remember, something that will last for all eternity, we pray. Bless these homes, these families who are here. Give these parents wisdom, discernment. Help them to be a great example of this truth, we pray, in their homes, that their children might see they too should live for the things that are eternal. In Jesus' name. Amen.